You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Ed, hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway. Oh, it's exciting, Bear. It's exciting. Ty Simpson's about to make his selection. You want to go listen in? Do we have Bear? We do not have Bear. Get him on the phone. All right, Ty Simpson making his college selection. CBSSports.com. Let's go and listen in.
You know, future first-round draft pick. So being able to pick their brain on not just the schools, but the football period is a great feeling.
Did they give you any good insight? What was the best piece of advice they gave you?
Just relax and play football. That's what their advice was, because they know that they're some of the best schools.
He's still jibber-jabbering. Bear, are you on with us?
And, you know, that's their best advice to me.
All right, let's get him on. Come on.
Ty, at 24/7 Sports, they have a crystal ball, and I got to tell you,
they're still jibber-jabbering.
Where you may pick.
Ty Simpson at Martin Westview High School in Martin. His dad, of course, the head coach at the University of Tennessee, Martin. And we are awaiting. He is choosing between Tennessee, Alabama, and Clemson. Oh, blah, blah, blah. We got to talk to him. We got to interview him. How hard was the decision? Just make your decision. Pick the hat. Pick the hat. Oh, you're going to put them on hold. They're going to milk this thing. Oh, my God. Just the worst. Just the worst. Unbelievable. All right. Just put him on the phone. We've been over this. Just put him on the phone. All right. Here we go. Bear, what do you think about it, buddy? You like this when they say the announcement's going to be at 3 o'clock, and then they turn it into like a half hour, drag it out. Oh, let's go talk to the recruiting analyst. Let's talk to Steve Wiltfong. Let's see how long we can keep these poor schmucks watching CBSSports.com.
No, I mean, I don't like it. Just make the damn announcement already, and let's get on with our show.
Just make that, yeah. Please.
I don't understand this.
All the time. You think? I mean, I blame myself. You think we would have learned by now? Who thought that we would tune right in at 3 o'clock and he would be ready to go? Thought that we'd have this announcement right off the top. Unbelievable. All right. Well, we'll wait. Doesn't sound like he's coming to Tennessee. I mean, if you're just reading the tea leaves. None of the rivals or 247 guys that have predicted him going to Tennessee. It sounds like it's an Alabama or Clemson type situation.
Yeah.
So, that would be not a swift kick to the groin, but a kick to the groin. Because we saw it coming, right? We saw it coming. Nobody's predicting Tennessee, so nobody is going to be. We'll be upset, but not stunned upset. Unless he picks Tennessee, then it would be a pretty cool, pretty happy surprise. Then it would be a pretty cool deal. You fired up about it, Bear?
I don't know.
No.
I mean, I'm not that, you know, like I said yesterday, this one, for whatever reason, I realize. Five-star, hell of a prospect, but I'm not that worked up about this one. If he does, he does. If he doesn't, then good luck. Go ahead and pick Alabama and look forward to, you know.
He's right there on the western edge of the state, on the western border. If he were just like 100 miles west and if it weren't an in-state prospect, we wouldn't be as wrapped up about it. We wouldn't care as much. And so far away. But Pruitt had us in on him. He was a strong lean here. He was basically a silent commitment to Jeremy Pruitt. And now, And now we have our coaching change, which we had to make. Nobody regrets that. Maybe in the dark recesses of interweb.com, there is some Tennessee fan on Vol Nation or Vol Nugs. Any Pruitt dead enders on Vol Nugs, Bear?
No. Absolutely not. They were out on him a long time ago.
I mean, we would do it 100 times out of 100. Nobody's keeping Jeremy Pruitt just to get Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't, it wasn't an option anyway because Jeremy Pruitt was a terrible cheater and he got busted, a sin for which Josh Heupel will be paying for years to come. We'll be cleaning up this dude's mess for years and years to come. It's unbelievable. So
yeah, it's still not right, that whole deal. You know, I thought that the NCAA had finally made the decision to, you know, not hammer the schools. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be kids playing at Tennessee that are going to be paying the price for this. It had nothing to do with Jeremy Pruitt.
Well,
zero.
Here we are, yeah, and here we are waiting like a bunch of dopes on Ty Simpson to make his selection. 865-546-8200. You want to jump on board this afternoon. We're going to go open lines pretty much the whole way today. So if you want to jump in, and we're going to have some reaction to this, we're going to have get into this recruiting game. It's just all about players. You got to have the players, man. Nobody's saying that we can three-star this thing to victory. You're going to have the players. And for Tennessee, I was thinking about this as we get set to come on. This would be a huge recruiting win for Tennessee. It'd be a huge recruiting loss. I was hoping we would have the decision now so that, you know, if he doesn't go here, we could say, oh, where does this rank in all-time losses? If he does come here, where does it rank in all-time wins? I've got, and we have a lot of great listener feedback, Bear. Here are my top, and this is your Rickard Rich Barbecue Smoking Hot question. So if you've got additions to this list. Biggest wins, biggest recruiting losses in UT history. And we go football and basketball. I think the biggest win, without a doubt, is Peyton. I mean, that was a transformational recruiting win. It was a long, hard-fought recruiting battle, pretty well-publicized. Heath Shuler was big, too, but Peyton, obviously, was the game-changer. I think Eric Berry was huge, too. If you remember that one, I believe it was 2007. He was the class of 2007. That was a huge battle. Of course, Tennessee, you do have the caveat of his dad went here and played here, so we were always kind of a favorite there. But he's in Bulldog country. You had to go get him. You had to win him over. His dad wasn't forcing him to come here. That was a huge get. Basketball, before my time, but – the Bernard King recruiting stories are pretty fantastic, right? Stu Aberdeen going into New York City, doing what he had to do.
Yeah.
Rolling up his sleeves, getting in the gray area a little bit maybe, and doing what he had to do.
He rolled into Rucker Park there in New York City and left with Bernard King, and the rest was history. Bernard King may be the biggest one, if you think about it, Russ.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, the kid was a playground legend in the city. And Tennessee just went up there and snagged him.
Let's go listen in. Here's Ty Simpson at Westview High School in Martin.
And some very special friends who are family to me.
Thanking
also
folks.
Also my teammates who make me look good on the field every Friday night.
I think they're using our remote equipment for this audio.
Every single day. Last, I would like to thank all the people who show up and support at every game and every event we have here at Westview. This community is truly special, and y'all make it fun to be a Westview Charger. When I look at these five hats on this table and reflect on each school they represent, I'm reminded of the experiences I've had with each one of them, from the relationships, the traditions they hold, and each holds a very special place in my heart, and I feel honored to be able to commit to one of these today. football is such a big part of my life. Have grown up on a football field, and the thought of being able to play in college and after college is a true blessing from God. I pray that I bless God in every way that I do in this journey. I have him in front of me because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. With that being said, hope you find it in your hearts to celebrate and support me as I'm committing to continue my journey at the University of Alabama. Roll Tide.
Shut it off. I'm out of here. I don't want to talk. I don't want to hear about it.
Ty Wilson, I know you're celebrating there.
She called him Ty Wilson. She's really dialed in. There you have it. Ty Simpson, the great quarterback prospect from Martin, has committed to Alabama. And I guess that moves us into the second part of today's Rick and Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question. Biggest recruiting losses of all time. It remains to be seen, obviously. He could be a bust. I don't know. Probably not going to be. Doesn't seem like Alabama recruits many bust quarterbacks. But now we get into that part of the conversation we had with Ryan Callahan yesterday, where it's, how do you play this? Obviously, Sam Horn sounds like plan B. You go all in on him, but you continue keeping tabs on Ty Simpson. Maybe you can win him over a little bit later. But that sucks, man. That sucks. What a kick in the crotch.
Roll down Tide.
Ty Simpson commits to Alabama, and Tennessee has to move on. Tennessee has to move on. So where does this rank in terms of all-time UT football recruiting losses? I remember Tim Couch being a big one back in the day. That was a long, drawn-out, epic recruiting battle between Tennessee and Kentucky in the day. And, of course, he was a Kentucky native, so Tennessee was always fighting that. And Kentucky sucked, like, even more than they do now. Like, they were Blue Vandy back at that time. But they got Hal Mumme. He convinced Tim Couch to stay in state. And he had a great career. Obviously, I mean, he was number one overall pick in the draft. He set all kind of records up there. He was really a transformational figure when you talk about Mike Leach and the first kind of big power conference school to embrace the air raid. They improved Kentucky's profile. Obviously not a national power or anything like that. But that was a tough one to swallow. That was tough. You got to think Tennessee would have been, would have been Peyton part two if he had come here. Hell, he probably would have had a better pro career if he had come here. But he did what he did. It's whatever. Taj Boyd, we had him committed. Bear.
That was Kiffin though. That wasn't a loss. I mean, we told him he
self-inflicted.
We told him though. Yeah.
The Kiffinistas don't bring up that part, do they? They always, when they're talking about how much they want him back and how great he was and how cool he is, they always neglect that he told Taj Boyd to take a hike so he could sign Matt Sims. It's funny how they leave that part out, you know?
I mean, don't forget he also turned down,
Bryce Petty.
Bryce Petty from Baylor. He had a fantastic career down there until he got – yeah, I think he broke his back or something crazy, and it kind of, he was never the same, but, you know, Butch botched the Trevor Lawrence recruitment.
Cade Mays, T. Higgins, they're local guys, so local five stars.
Yeah.
Kind of an
but showing up with two cops to, you know. That's just always a great idea.
And then the basketball one for me that always stands out was Ron Mercer back in the day. That was,
for me, it's Mercer, but I'll tell you, the one that burns me to this day more than Mercer is the fact that we let Tony Delt go to Kentucky.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Pure shooters that ever came out of the state of Tennessee.
Yeah. That was a little bit before my time, before they really publicized those. But the Mercer thing was such a big deal because it was so heavily publicized. He was from the Mid-State, Nashville, Overton, ended up playing at Oak Hill for his last year, and Kevin O'Neill was so not vocal about it because you couldn't be vocal about it. That was a violation, but he was everything but vocal about it. Everybody in the world knew that Tennessee was giving Kentucky what for in the recruitment of Ron Mercer. And he was an NBA guy, but he went to Kentucky where he kind of blended into the crowd, whereas we would have built our entire program around him. But I think he only stayed there for 1 year.
I thought he stayed there longer than 1 year. Was it one?
I think he was one and done there back in the day, maybe two. But he didn't have a huge impact. He was on the national championship team. Remember they wore the denim uniforms? They played up there in the Meadowlands against Syracuse?
Yeah.
That was the Final Four Mississippi State went to. Now, Mississippi State has been to a Final Four, and we haven't.
It defies imagination that we haven't been to a Final Four in basketball. It does.
Dante Jones and Eric Dampier. Richard Williams. We couldn't make a Final Four with Bruce Pearl. Rick Barnes is our coach. Richard Williams took him to a Final Four. All right, Bear. The old recruiting stories. The recruiting stories were like 25 years ago. Actually are getting more steamed than losing out on Ty Simpson today. I got to take a break. I'm going to go calm down. I'm going to go make myself a cup of tea. Tell you what, I'm going to go make some hot tea back here in the annex. Try and mellow out a little bit, and then we'll go to the phones. We'll let the people talk about it. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on the drive, Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you. Correction. Ron Mercer went to Good Pasture in the Mid-State, not Overton.
I thought he was a private school kid.
Same school as Patrick Turner. Another epic recruiting whiff. That sucked. I remember that one. That was 2004. I remember that vividly, being on the air. Tennessee.
Whatever happened to him?
I mean, he had a good career at USC and in the NFL. Can't say it didn't work out for him. I mean, played at USC in that era, the Reggie Bush era.
I mean, he won a natty, didn't he?
Yeah. Got drafted by the Dolphins, played for the Jets, played about 4 years in the NFL. Not bad.
Yeah.
865-546-8200. Ty Simpson choosing Alabama today over Clemson and Tennessee. How bad does it hurt? Vol Nation.
Not at all.
Yes, it does. Stop.
It
doesn't hurt as much. I believe you that it doesn't hurt you as badly as some of these others, but it hurts. I mean, let's not act like we didn't want to sign the five-star in-state quarterback.
I mean, it just doesn't – I don't know why. This one – I mean, there's so much crap going on right now that I don't know. I mean, maybe I should be more upset about it. I just don't – I don't really care.
We've lost Bear. He is – his fan soul is dead. We've lost the Bear, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200. Open up a vein and bleed with us today. Don is up first. Hello, Don. You're on the drive.
Well, hello, gentlemen. I'm with Bear. I didn't watch the announcement I listened to with you guys, but on VolQuest, somebody on message board apparently was watching, said Simpson's little brother was wearing a Vols wristband and crying. the good thing is that Ty's going to get the setback this year, you know, between now and signing day, and watch a freshman five-star in front of him probably go out and light it up, and he can start counting on his 3 years of bench time.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see too. how that all plays out. This might not be done, and I hope Tennessee fans, I hope the Vol Twitter folks don't show their rear ends on this one. And
they're going to.
Yeah, they are, and it's sad because it's not over yet. He's not signing. He just committed. And didn't Alabama have – somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they have a five-star committed last year who ended up decommitting and going to North Carolina? Or am I getting that backwards? Did Bryce Young decommit from North Carolina and go to Bama?
No, Bryce Young I don't think was – I don't remember him being committed there, but, yeah, he was the five-star that came in last year, and probably just like Ty, I thought, man, I'm going to walk in because Tagovailoa is gone. I'm going to be the man and sit there and watch Mac Jones set records. So, and I think it would have been the same thing at Clemson, because if anybody watched that freshman there last year, remember, they're still freshmen, both Bryce Young and that kid at Clemson. I watched the first game he played. And Lawrence was out, and he threw for like 450 yards, four or five touchdowns. I mean, he was going over our ride to pine, too. And we don't know for sure, but Caden Salford or somebody might have him riding the pine here. I mean, I'm not, and this is not Sire Grapes, because
he might, and he might not, Don. I mean, and again, yeah, Tennessee fans need to behave themselves online and not attack a 17-year-old child and his family, because Salter might be a bust. We don't know. And Tennessee might keep recruiting this kid, and he might see Bryce Young go out there and ball out this fall and decide, you know what, I'd rather go play for Josh Heupel. So everybody cool your jets a little bit and play the long game.
Yep. And of course, the Alabama top got hot and heavy this week, which magically yesterday, Ty Simpson comes a five-star.
It's funny how that works.
Same time everybody's going to Alabama. If he'd come here, I promise he'd still be a four-star.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, if we end up flipping him, there's no doubt he loses that fifth star. But, you know, it's okay. It's all good, Don. This dude, Heupel, has made big offenses work without five-star quarterbacks at UCF and other places as well. So he's just got to find his guy who can operate his system, and he'll be able to get in on some of these kids on down the road if he's able to do that.
Yeah, I think Horn might be one, though. Missouri's been showing him a lot of love, while our idiot ex-coach didn't even give him a whiff. And there's other ones out there as well. And like you say, we see this every year. But talking about Alabama and, the great line of quarterbacks they've had. Now, they've had several drafted in the last few years. Most of them are now TV analysts and other things. When's the last time Alabama put a real quarterback that made it in the NFL? Was it Kenny Stabler, because he come after Joe Willie, or do we go back to Bart Starr?
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
and think about it.
It's not a who's who, and they've had some guys drafted and stuff. We'll see what Tua is able to do, but Barry, that's an interesting point. It's not like Alabama has put a lot of quarterbacks into the NFL as starters in the modern era.
No, I mean, Tua, he started a couple of games this year, but the rest of them have been probably the two that jump out that are most successful are Snake Stabler and Broadway Joe Namath.
That's been a day or two.
Been close to 50 years.
Yeah, because at the same time, then you look around the league, in the NFL, how many QBs did you hardly even know their name until they showed up starting in the NFL? The kid up at Buffalo right now. I mean, if you were really, really following football and you would follow like minor league college football, you knew who some of these guys were. But other than that, not really. It's just like going from being a four or five star in high school and you got to climb up, go see what you can do in college. You can be the stud quarterback. If ever, all of us folks around here certainly remember when the great debate between Peyton Manning and that clown out at Washington State, who was really the best. I mean, so it's not exact science, to say the least. I don't wish the kid ill will, whatever he decides to do, other than when he plays us. I want him, you know, if somebody wants to fish his face in the mud, that's fine. But I just, you know, and I'm just looking at his size, too, and I'm thinking, I don't know. You know, most of the, especially a kid that's more of a, I think, I've never watched him play, pro-style quarterback, 6'2", is not exactly.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? He kind of reminds me of Heath Shuler as a prospect, Donnie. Very mobile and run around, but, I mean, he's definitely got an arm on him, so. We'll see how it all works out. Don, appreciate the phone call. We'll get some other folks in here. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. Mark is up next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's up?
I can't believe that more people aren't like Bear in saying that they don't care, because – this is a catastrophic recruiting loss, and the program is a disaster. He was going to be the bell cow of the signing class, and the reason why Jeremy Pruitt didn't go recruit Sam Horn is because he had Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
Why would he go recruit Sam Horn? He's got a quarterback for 2022. They decided to nuke the program, and this is the result they get. And I don't understand why people are not making this place earn your hope, your optimism, your time, your money, your energy. They should have to earn that back after 12 plus years and the garbage they pulled on January 19th. Just my opinion. And the panic hire they made in Josh Heupel.
Well, I mean, it's what it was January 19th. Was that when we fired Pruitt?
The press conference when they nuked the program on national television.
Well, they didn't nuke the program. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt nuked the program. I mean, like, Plowman and Boyd did what they had to do. They were left with no choice.
Here's the deal. It's not the sanctions and it's not the penalties that kill you, because once you know those, you're fine. You get through it. It's the being in limbo. When other SEC schools come into this vaunted Tennessee 2022 recruiting class and tell them Tennessee's going to get SMU'd, whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. They're going to say that. And we have no answers to recruits' questions about what the penalties are going to be. And God forbid that last two recruiting cycles, because then we really are Vanderbilt with facilities. We're already close to that. Then we will be Vanderbilt. It's the limbo that kills you. You don't have answers to recruits' questions. And Tyson's going to go down there, and he's going to get quarterback tutelage from Bill O'Brien, who's an NFL head coach. And he'll be fine. And they're going to put back-to-back quarterbacks in the first round of the NFL draft. Mac Jones is going to be a first rounder. He's rising up the boards. I don't blame the kids for going to Alabama. Why would you come here? This place is a disaster.
I don't blame them either. For right now, I think there's time for Tennessee to get back. If they can get the NCAA thing wrapped up in a timely manner, which for the NCAA means before the end of this year, then Heupel might have a chance if he can turn the Salter kid or any of the other three into a competent quarterback. He might be able to go back in on Ty Simpson, or you might just have to let him go and roll with the guys that you have. But I think Bear's point is, like, this sucks. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but it is not a how can you kill what's already dead, Mark?
Well, good point there. My whole deal, guys, is that
If we didn't have Caden Salter coming in here, if Harrison Bailey wasn't already on campus, I'd probably, and mainly Salter, I'd be a lot more upset. You know, I realize Salter is a four-star, but, I mean, he played in the biggest classification against the best talent in the state of Texas. I don't even know what classification is Westview in.
It's not. The point is, Ty Simpson kid was going to be the bell cow of the signing class. Absolute bell cow to sign us. And now they're going to be lucky to sign two of the top 10 players in the state. You know it and I know it.
That ship had already sailed when Pruitt detonated our program. We're donezo. We're done. Why are we not being able to land this kid? Hold on, guys.
It's not done. It's never done. This is Tennessee. We're not getting SMU'd.
Oh, my God. We've said that for 12 years.
We're not getting SMU'd. Okay? They're not giving us the death penalty.
They're going to say that. Other schools are going to say that.
Well, let me ask you this. If Tennessee football is dead, then what was our hat doing up on the table today? Why is Sam Horan basically waiting for our call so he could commit to us? What about all these other four stars that are talking favorably about Tennessee under Josh Heupel right now? If we're dead, then why are we even in the ball game at this point?
Look, Heupel's a placeholder. He's there to score some points, sell some tickets. He'll be Bama's OC in 2025. We have 55,000 in the stadium by then. The thing's dead.
Hold on.
It's Vandy with facilities. Come on,
play it.
Be real. Stop. Don't be cheap.
You're right. Thanks for the call. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. What's the point? Why even show up at this crummy job anymore?
Why are we even doing this show, Russ?
Program's dead. Josh Heupel's just a placeholder. Every season is just a meaningless march through futility and to ultimate disappointment. Really, when you think about it, we'd really just be better off as a fan base committing some sort of mass suicide. Get ourselves a big cabin, some new Nikes, and some orange Kool-Aid. Take our eternal dirt nap and ride the comet through the galaxy. The utter pointlessness of Tennessee football is a never-ending search through a bottomless pit of despair. Every day, one step closer to complete oblivion and annihilation. There is no God. It's all pointless. Nothing to live for. Certainly nothing to cheer for. Jump, Tennessee fan. Just jump. Just jump. You know you want to. Don't step back from that ledge, my friend. Just jump.
Hmm.
865-546-8200. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Logo Solutions. Folks, if you've got a logo, they've got a solution. Call our friend RB at 865-966-3434. He can stitch the power T onto the side of your death shroud as you plunge off the Henley Street Bridge into the icy cold depths of the Tennessee River. LogoSolutionsInc.com. Start your shopping today online. LogoSolutionsInc.com. Logo Solutions. Right product, right price, right on time. More of your phone calls coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to close the book on Josh Heupel? He's a placeholder coach. Really? Tennessee football is done? Why? Because we missed out on a recruit? It's a big recruit. Like, Mark was right. It could have jump-started our class. It was a good opportunity. If Heupel could have landed this kid today, it could have been a great message to send to the rest of the recruiting world. Hey, Tennessee ain't going nowhere. We're still here. We're still Tennessee. We're going to get through this, but we're still recruiting at an elite level. Okay, it didn't happen. We're not folding up shop. We're not canceling the 2021 season. They're going to play. Yeah, we're going to take some medicine from the NCAA. We're cleaning up Jeremy Pruitt's mess. We didn't nuke our program on purpose. We did what we had to do to get rid of the gump who is going to be proven to be an historically inept cheater. Okay? It had to be done. There's no getting out of it. We didn't do it just to get out of the buyout. Did it because he got caught. He got turned in by his own recruiting department, and he's guilty as sin. That's going to be proven. And Tennessee did what they had to do. They fired with extreme prejudice. They fired Pruitt. They fired Niedermeyer. They fired Shelton Felton. They fired other people in the recruiting office. And we cleaned house, did not keep J. Graham T. Martin or anybody associated with the last class, even if we had wanted to. So Tennessee is doing what they have to do to rid themselves of the stench of the Jeremy Pruitt era. We'll see what the NCAA decides to do. They are notoriously difficult to predict. Nobody can predict if they're going to give us credit or not for doing the right thing. But we did the right thing. It's done. Now we have to suffer the consequences, okay? But we're going to play next year, Bear. Tennessee football goes on. I mean, good grief. Program's dead? Stop.
Yeah, Mark guy needs to have his head examined. I'm sorry. That's just that was a silly fun. Josh Heupel being a placekeeper. What else did he say that it was a? I don't know anybody that's upset about trading Jeremy Pruitt for Josh Heupel. Low football IQ. You know.
Dustin is next. Good afternoon, Dustin. You're on the drive.
Dustin just left us. It's Jamie.
No. Oh. Well, this should be uplifting. Oh, yeah. Jamie, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Russ, I'm asking for a serious phone call today after two flushes in a row. Can I get that from you?
That's up to you, buddy.
Okay.
Be respectful. All right. So, be respectful.
So everything's good. How's that?
No. That's here. Not what I said.
Oh. So I can have a real opinion?
You can have whatever opinion you want. Hey, I liked Mark's phone call. I mean, he had a hot take. I'll give him that. And it is, I'm sure, spurring some conversation. I appreciate it. I don't agree with the ultimate premise that none of this matters.
Well, I'll disagree that firing Pruitt didn't have to be done. I mean, if we would have kept Pruitt and signed Ty Simpson, you're still just kicking the can down the road because the NCAA isn't going to let you pay players out of the McDonald's bags blatantly in broad daylight without coming down hard. So Ty Simpson or not, the Pruitt era was doomed. So, but, you know, it's just ingenuous to act like because he had the Tennessee hat up there that we're not, you know, the only reason that Tennessee hat's up there is for one reason and one reason alone is because he's from the state of Tennessee, period.
Wait, period. So he has been talking to Josh Heupel every day since he got the job. What, for a month now? Multiple Zoom meetings with the entire staff. He's just been wasting our head coach's time and his own time just to be polite?
Reason. Same reason, Russ. I mean, he's from the state of Tennessee. He's grown up a Tennessee fan. It'd be foolish not to hear out Josh Heupel.
Yeah, but I mean, can't you hear him out in two or three phone calls and then say, Coach, I love you, I respect you, but I've got better stuff to do and I'm not going to lead you on? Why would he do that for an entire month every day if he wasn't at least giving it some serious consideration?
No, I understand. And I've actually heard also there's a good chance. You know, Alabama doesn't really, you know, Nick Saban has said, if you're looking around, I'm, you know, we've heard in the past where he says he pulls Scully off. So maybe he is just holding his place at Alabama. Maybe he is just buying some more time with Heupel. I hope he is. It is a big loss because not just for the quarterback, because like Mark said, you could jumpstart this class. And that, you know, it's, and we can't act like that doesn't have an effect in the future. It's kind of like whenever we traded the Kentucky win at Lexington for the five-star corners that we didn't get, that begat another crappy 3 years of football. You know, you can't tell me if you don't sign five-star corners that we're better. We make a bowl game in year one and maybe don't let BYU throw a Hail Mary at the end of the game. You know, maybe go 9-2 or I don't know. You know, these things have butterfly effects, guys. I mean, we've been around here for 12 years and we've seen what little bitty things – you know, add up to down the road for quarterbacks, you know, or for coaches. Look, the Hail Mary that Dobbs hit against Georgia kept Butch around for half a freaking decade when the guy was begging to be fired after year three. You know, and Dooley going into the office, Dave Hart could have easily said, yeah, you can get out of here after 2 years. But he said no. And Dooley said, all right, I'll go bury the program even more. These things have serious effects, you know, for us. I just
– excuse me.
I'm not saying that I'm not still behind Heupel. And he has moved lesser quarterbacks. He has done, you know, good work with him. It's just now he's in the SEC. You know, you're playing against NFL defenses now, so a little different. We'll see. And, you know, just playing devil's advocate today, Baron Russell, if we're being honest, do you think the chances of maybe swinging Ty back to Tennessee's way would have been better if we'd have had Lane or Hugh Freeze?
Touch them all, no. Jamie. Touch them all. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Well, that's fair.
There's no way to answer that, honestly.
Didn't he have some sort of pre-existing relationship with Hugh Freeze? I think they knew each other. And that's what it seems like. It's all about relationships with him. So maybe with Freeze, Kiffin is certainly an aggressive recruiter. Maybe. I don't know. But look, I understand everybody's angry, everybody's upset. I get it. I'm disappointed too. But if you're looking to lash out, you're looking somebody to blame, like Josh Heupel deserves none of the blame today. You want to blame somebody, blame the Gump, and blame the guy who hired him. Those are the two guys that have nuked Tennessee football.
Well, that's where you and I agree 100%. It's not Heupel's fault. It's Fulmer's fault for not only hiring Gump, like you say, but, you know, we've made bad coaching hires before, but to turn your head and let this guy just do what he was able to do for 3 years and not have a – you know, the guy wants to stand on the sideline during practice with a whistle around his neck. You'd think he'd have a better idea of what his coach was up to. You know, that right there is the astonishing part. You know, Phil Fulmer's more to blame for this mess than Pruitt.
He
Pruitt's
is
an idiot.
And Heupel needs – support. He's got enough stacked against him, and I'm not advocating sheepery or sheepdom, whatever you want to call it. I'm just saying that hey look, maybe it's good that Bear and Don and many of our fan base are dead inside and don't care anymore, because at least they won't be directing that at letting the chopper of anger spray on the interwebs and everything, and Josh Heupel doesn't have to deal with that. Maybe they'll be texting a friend, like Danny No Nugs wants to say, because this dude just needs that positivity. He needs some wind in his sails. He's going to have to do something to jumpstart this thing. It sucks that they didn't get this today. I mean, this would have been a cannon shot of a jumpstart for the program, but it just wasn't to be. There was nothing he could have done.
I don't blame Heupel at all, but Russ, would you agree there's some gray area between being a complete sheep and being like the guys who are completely dead? I mean, I got to be, like I said, under Pruitt. I'm not trying to turn my back on UT football. You can't expect us just to, you know, lay it all out there again for the fourth time, you know, in the last 12 years, given, you know, the other three regimes. You got to, you know, but I'm also not going to, sabotage the guy. You know, maybe I'll just, maybe I'll just watch everybody else swim for a while, maybe dip my toe in, you know, before I commit. But that's I'm fine. Definitely not going to poo-poo the guys that are on board.
That's fine. And maybe certain of our more extreme fans need a little timeout, need a little break. Hey, 2020 was a rough year for all of us. Go to the beach. Go to the beach. Take a little vacation this summer. You've earned it, Tennessee fans. You've earned it. Take a little break and maybe come back next year, see how this Heupel guy does. If he's awesome, you jump back in with both feet. If not, we'll run his ass too. That's what
we
do.
On the way out, I'll say this. If we don't win a lot next year, which we probably won't, at least it won't be boring and bad. I'm looking forward to that offense. I hope. And I do like the coordinator's numbers. You know, when y'all broke it down the day that we hired him, it's not as black as you thought it might be. you know, from hiring a guy that's never, you know, really called plays a big time. You know, I did like what he was able to do. So I'll say this. I know these things can have an effect, you know, but also having a very exciting offense on the field in the SEC can have an effect too. I just hate that we're going to swing and, you know, it just kind of looks like we may swing and miss on the greatest in-state group of talent that we've ever had. And those could have been the things that might have brought us back to Atlanta. But on the way out, like I say, let's go to the beach, Russ. It just might be a little hard to swim with a mask on. Y'all hang in there.
You take your mask off at the beach. Did I tell you about the guy at the beach last summer, Bear, who was mad at me and my family for getting too close to him?
No, you didn't.
We were going down, and everybody, first of all, there weren't as many. It wasn't a very packed, crowded beach anyway, right?
Right.
And this is Isle of Palms, South Carolina. And so we go out there, and everybody's got like 10, 15 feet between them. And we found a spot, and there was a guy to our left. He's by himself. He's got his little umbrella. He's just sitting there just chilling, enjoying his day at the beach. There is at least 15 feet between us. And okay. He waits. We dig into our umbrella. It's got that screw thing. I mean, it's a you got to pile the sand around it. We're setting down the coolers, setting up the chairs. The kids' toys are out and everything. It takes like 10 minutes to set up, right?
Yeah.
Finally get set up, and he very loudly says, "Do you have to set up so close to me?" It's like, dude, you couldn't have said that 10 minutes ago when you saw me digging this hole for our umbrella? Really?
Jerk.
You're 15 feet away on the beach. The wind is blowing. No, you think that we're going to transmit COVID from 15 feet away on a beach? Are you Dr. Fauci over here? You understand? Are you downwind or something? You're afraid of getting the Rona at the beach? Get out of here.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Hard to swim with a mask on, unless it's a snorkel mask or a scuba mask, Jamie. Then you can get it done if you have those flippers. Stay with us. The drive continues. Adam Hickman here. He's got your top four at four when we continue next on Fan Run Radio.